Callie Crossley's here. Charlie Herman's here. It's time for the agenda. Host the Callie Crossley Show at WGBH, our partner station up there in Boston. Callie, good morning.
Good morning.
And Charlie Herman, economics and business editor for The Takeaway and our co-producer, WNYC Radio. So polls again. I like that. We did some polls
this morning.
Polling again. I mean, we talked a little bit about Obama fatigue among some key constituencies on the program this hour. I've got actually two words for both of you, Callie and Charlie. I think this week is all about Cain is able. Actually, that's three words. Herb Cain, that was amazing. Amazing political story. We have to talk about that right at the top, but I was amazed he won that Florida straw poll. He came out of nowhere, which maybe is an emblem of what's going on.
I'm amazed there's one poll and people are saying Rick Perry, maybe he should drop out and he's suddenly losing. I mean, we're months and months away from the election itself.
Callie Crossley, elaborate on this idea of polls as the president begins a West Coast trip this week. Seattle, San Francisco Bay Area, San Diego, L.A., Denver, raising money and also talking to workers.
I think that's exactly it. I think some of the ubiquitous polls are revealing some information that he has to face on that trail that he's on out in the West Coast, and he needs to be paying attention to and figure out how he's going to respond to some of that information, I think, head on. The second part of it is across the world, the Saudi Arabian women might get to go to the polls, finally.
Now, there you have it, polls. Do you believe the royals in Saudi Arabia are actually going to make good on that promise for 2015?
I think they're going to have to. This puts a pressure publicly, worldwide, and it also helps to underscore the growing power of some of the feminists in Saudi Arabia.
And, of course, domestic issues in Saudi Arabia could possibly be pushing the Saudis in their influence and relations with some of the nations of the Arab Spring that we talk about continually on this program. Callie Crossley, host of the Callie Crossley Show at WGBH in Boston. Charlie, I think when you say the word again,
try and guess what I'm talking
about. You might be referring to something going on in Europe.
No, I'm actually talking about Congress. I mean, stop me if you've heard this story before. The government needs to be funded, and the House and the Senate, Republicans and Democrats, they can't come to agreement. They need to do a continuing resolution to keep the government funded. They haven't passed a single bill onto the president to fund the government, which ends November 30th.
That means they're doing the continuing resolution.
They're doing a continuing resolution that they can't get that funded, that there's arguments over what to do with this very small part of the overall budget for disaster relief. And for the first time ever, they want the Republicans in the House, many of them want to find cuts to offset the money that would be provided for disaster relief, for example, in Joplin, Missouri, or in upstate New York after the flooding.
Well, we talked a little bit about specifically what this sort of offset business is. It started last week. The Senate is actually going to vote on a bill today, and it's not clear if
Harry Reid is going to include this offset. This idea of if you provide $3 billion in aid for disaster relief, you have to find cuts from somewhere else. I mean, basically, we're running up again. We talked about this back in the spring, in March, April. This is basically the same debate that we had going into the debt ceiling, you know, trying to find how to fund the government, where to find cuts, what should the government's role be. And we're looking at Congress not doing its actual job, which is to fund the government, and instead just putting together a continuing resolution. If it does get passed, which it's expected that it will, that'll fund the government till November. And then we go through the same dance again.
Charlie, let me push back a little bit here. I mean, the reason I didn't guess the continuing resolution as your again idea here is because, you know, you're the $1 trillion guy. You're dealing with the housing industry. This is just like a $3 billion dispute that they're having.
But it's again in terms of the fact that Congress can't do its job in a way and get the government funded. That again, we are playing a game of chicken. That again, you know, what are the implications if the Congress can't do this? What are the implications for the super committee that's meeting to find all these trillions in cuts, or $1.2 trillion in cuts? What does this say to the rest of the world about the U.S.'s ability to deal with its budget, to deal with its debt? I mean, Europe, again, is a problem, yes. But at the same time, you know, what are we competing with Europe to try and pull back the attention to us and say, no. We know that Europe are having a problem, but we can mess things up really badly, too.
Yeah, that's Charlie Herman, the economics correspondent and business editor for The Takeaway and our co-producer, WNYC
Radio. And John, can I add something
to
what Charlie said? Yeah, I think that also the rest of the world is looking at how does the United States deal with the least of these, because buried in this again proposal with the whole government shutdown is the FEMA funding. That's the funding for people that need disaster relief. Now, if we are not going to, we as our elected representatives, are going to use them as pawns, use those people that desperately need that funding, what does that say about us to the rest of the world, too?
I guess I wonder if the rest of the world continues to pay attention to all of these details.
I think they're paying attention to the broader picture, which is the inability of the government to basically do some of the basic functions. And you can argue if you're on the Republican side that these are questions that need to be addressed now, that we need to take advantage of these opportunities, because if we don't, we're just going to keep spending and adding to our deficit. And then you have on the other side saying, yeah, we need to do that, but we also need to get the government funded. We've never done this before in terms of disaster relief. It's a small thing, but it speaks to this bigger issue, and it goes to the implications of if we can't get it right on if we can't get things moving forward on disaster relief, what are we going to do if the economy really starts to collapse?
Well, to both of you, I mean, there's a sort of built-in tension and irony, it seems to me, in that a real discussion of deficit reduction ought to be reassuring to global markets, but to do it in this way where we shut down the government every couple of weeks.
Every couple of months,
It just completely knocks the wind out of any sense of reassurance that we're going to deal with things. Hold on one second, Charlie. Callie, let me ask you something. We talked at the beginning of this hour about a sense that African-American voters and maybe Latino voters, some part of the core constituency of Barack Obama, is beginning to lose their faith with the president and accuse him of being out of touch. The president spoke with the Congressional Black Caucus over the weekend in Phoenix. He's out on the West Coast. Do you have any sense that people are talking and grumbling?
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed, they are. I mean, when you even at the Congressional Black Caucus, let me start there and then go back to California, where you have people like Maxine Waters who have come out publicly and said, we are very unhappy with what you are doing. So you have to remember that the sort of positive response that he got to his speech there, in which he said people have to take off their bedroom slippers and put on their marching shoes. There's a larger crowd there than just the Congressional Black Caucus members. There are other people who would want to be supportive of him. But they're looking for some evidence to go back and tell other folks to support him and for themselves as well. And not, let's go to California, where we have Latinos marching outside, by the way, with signs that say courage requires change, requires courage. This is amazing. I mean, I don't think that you would have seen that. And we look at that field poll that has just come out, and we see that there is such a undermining of the support among his supporters and independents. I think there has been some discussion about loss of support among independents. All right, that's bad. But when you start talking about slippage from your own party,
right,
you got to look at that.
And again, it's the economy. To what Callie's saying, it's the unemployment rate for minorities, for blacks and Latinos, is much, much higher than the 9.1% nationwide. So it's about the economy.
Before we go, anything good this week, Charlie? Any numbers coming out?
Maybe GDP a little bit better. The economy grew a little more than expected. That's probably the best news that we'd see this week.
All right, there's your agenda. Charlie Herman, economics and business editor for The Takeaway, and our co-producer, WNYC Radio. Callie Crossley, host of The Callie Crossley Show at WGBH Radio, our partner up there in Boston. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And throughout the morning, we've been hearing about the president's declining ratings. You heard that discussion right there, the approval rating at its lowest ever. We heard earlier specifically about African-Americans and Latinos, why their support has been eroding. What do you think?
Good morning. My name is Alex from Cranston, Rhode Island. Overall, I've been pretty pleased with it. I think he had a very, very difficult job that he had to fill following President Bush, but I fully support him for his next presidency in the next 4 years.
Give the president a thumbs up or down. The GOP hasn't been able to take advantage of this disgruntlement and fatigue about the economy. What do you think the president should do? 877-8-MY-TAKE or head over to thetakeaway.org to post your response. I'm John Hockenberry. Celeste is out all week as she moves into her new digs out there in New Jersey. Email a housewarming gift to us, and we promise we'll remember to give it to her. Probably. This is The Takeaway.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.